Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
What's up, Twan?
I'm not really a popular man right now, basically because I cover the Jets, but it's good to be with you right now.
You're always popular with me. You're always the go-to guy for me because I need to figure some stuff out, man. I mean, let's go back to 9:30, you know, Sunday in London. I'm rushing home from the grocery store. I'm telling my wife and son, come on. We got to get home. We got to watch this Jets game. And it was the most watched London game ever. They did great numbers. It's a top five international game all time, but that was one of the worst games I've seen in recent time. It was so bad. Like, what were they doing over there in London when they were having too much tea and crumpets?
No, it wasn't that. It's just the offense hasn't been consistently good all year. I mean, you talk about, you go back to week 2 against Buffalo. I think Justin Fields was 3 out of 11 for 27 yards in that game. And, you know, you look at this game, too, against the Broncos. I mean, he just basically held the ball too long. I mean, we talk about a guy that's, you know, notoriously, like, wants to, you know, run out the pocket and scramble and things of that nature. But we didn't see any of that. We just saw a guy that was really hesitant to throw the ball down the field. And, you know, he ended up taking 9 sacks. He had as many sacks as he had completions. And, you know, it's hard to win that way when you're getting pressured and sacked that many times, especially. So, but Justin Fields talked about today how he needs to be more aggressive and wants to get the ball down the field there. So we'll see how it plays out against Carolina. But, yeah, the offense has struggled. Well, all aspects of the Jets have struggled, which is why they're 0-6 at the moment, you know, heading to week 7.
Yeah, I feel like there was a bad omen because, you know, in the other games, the stats were floating around. And people don't always get to watch the whole Jets game. But I keep going back to FanDuel, Dove Kleiman, and I think Underdog Fantasy tweeted out, Justin Fields in 3 full games with the Jets, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. 307 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. 309 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And then the last line that they all wrote was, he is not the problem. Basically saying that, you know, the Jets are 0-for, and it isn't his fault. So then we get to that game, and it is clear that he has paralysis by analysis. He is scared to throw a pick. And they can't get anything going because he won't release the football. So I put it on him, obviously, but I also got to put it on first-year offensive coordinator Tanner Engstrand, who I'm like, yo, switch it up. Call something else. Get him out of there. Roll him out of there. Put him in the gun. Do something. I don't know.
Well, let me correct you on that. Like, I think some of the issues are on him because, I mean, you look at his stats and you see he hasn't thrown any interceptions. I think he's fumbled twice, but he's been a garbage time merchant. Like, let's just call it what it is. I mean, the guy's been, you know, he looked against the Cowboys there. He threw a lot of yards there late in the game. The game was already decided. You know, you look at some of the other games, the Dolphins game as well. Like, he threw a lot of yards late in the fourth quarter when the game was already decided.
Not
there,
to cut you off. That's what I'm saying. Anybody like yourself or you know, our listeners that watch the game, we know that those numbers they were all putting out weren't real. Men lie, women lie. Numbers do lie in garbage time when you can pad your stats. But then he finally got the game against a good defense where he couldn't pad any stats. He couldn't even get any stats, negative 10 net yards.
Yeah, you're facing a team that had the best pass rush in the NFL in the Broncos, and they sacked you 9 times. So, yeah, I think part of it is on him, but also I agree with your point, too, as well. Ed Strand didn't necessarily call a great game, too, as well. Like, my thing is, when you got a guy like Justin Fields, who you know is not super accurate, is not a great quarterback, roll him out, like, use his strengths to your advantage, too. Like, get him on some D-line runs there. Like, maybe throw some option in there, too, right, as well, because, you know, he is a guy that, you know, he relies on his athleticism to make plays down the field. And, I know he talked about today he was been a little bit banged up since the Dolphins game there. Obviously, you know, it was a short week there going heading to Dallas and, you know, banging up his knee a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, you got to be able to use his strengths to his advantage. And I don't think Santa Estrada has been necessarily doing that, you know, regularly either. So, yeah, I think it's a lot on Glenn. I think a lot on Estrada. I think a lot on Justin Fields, too. Like, it's enough blame to go around for the Jets' 0-6 start.
Yeah, I think they all just collectively got exposed. I'll leave the defense out of it because I did think that the defense – you know, Sauce Gardner said they had a meeting about taking it personal. You saw Jermaine Johnson. You saw Brownlee on that defense. And, like, the defense held. They got that coveted first turnover. Like, the defense held. But what I'll say is they got exposed, especially at halftime when you convert the fake punt, which was obvious. You saw Darren Rizzi jumping up and down, yelling at the screen. He knew what was coming. They get it. But then they're not able to do anything with it. And I've been on the fan all week saying there are 10-year-old kids playing Madden that know what to do in that situation, or at least what to try to do. And what I felt like it exposed to me was Aaron Glenn not having any confidence in his quarterback, not having any confidence right in his offensive coordinator, and being, I guess, defensive-minded and folding. You're supposed to attack. You're supposed to try to get points. You're defeated. You need to win.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
And also being aloof of, like, you know, real-time game situations, which I feel like he is too as well. But he's blaming the media right now, and that's totally fine. I mean, you know, I know today, you know, Brian Castello, who, you know, covers the Jets for the New York Post, ended up asking him a question basically about, you know, Justin Fields throwing the ball down the field and everything like that. And, you know, Glenn basically said, like, we would be complaining, you know, to paraphrase it, I don't know what we can say on here, but basically complaining about how we would be, like, he wouldn't be able to throw the ball down the field. But our job is to critique what's going on.
Yes.
And I don't think Aaron Glenn understands that totally. But, you know, it's nothing personal. It is business. It's the job that we do. We have a job like how he has a job, too. And our job is to tell people what's going on. And I don't think he understands necessarily what that entails. It's nothing personal. We don't have any beef. Well, I can say I don't have any beef with Justin Fields or anybody on the Jets roster. But our job is to tell people what's going on and why it's happening. And then he's just not necessarily, you know, registering that message right now, which, you know, it also looks bad on a lot of different levels, not just not necessarily on the field, but also off the field too, when he, you know, continues to attack us.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted you on tonight. I opened up and we played the audio where he said, if something bad happens, you guys are going to be using the B word, about it and about him. And he's just got to go out there and play quarterback. And to me, when I heard that today, I'm like, I'm starting the show with this, because this guy is sinking. He is bleeding out. He is fighting against the media and the fans, and you can't win that game. And you haven't won a game. You have no grace. You're making it harder for yourself off the field. And we just saw you clearly learning on the job. You look like a guy who lied on his resume and is in over his head. And now the way that you're going at the media, here's the question I ask you. I'm like, is Woody co-signing this? Did Woody put the battery in his back? Is Woody telling him, you're safe, brother. Look, you got it. Don't worry, bro. Like, we're not firing you after this year. We know it's going to be uphill. Go out there and be tough on them and give it to the media. And I just think he's doing it all wrong.
I think Woody is empowering him, but at the same time, like, also, it's a certain – you know, his coaches were Bill Parcells when he came up, and also Bill Belichick was his defensive coordinator back in the 90s. So it's a little bit of that, but at the same time, like, those guys actually, you know, when they came to the Jets, they won, like, on some level. And he comes to in this situation where, you know, it's just very combative, and that's not the way to make friends or, you know, have a, you know, long tenure in this media market. And he keeps, you know, bringing up the Detroit example, and I understand Dan Campbell. I covered Dan Campbell in Miami when he was the interim coach there. Mm-hmm. But again, it's a different situation when you're up in New York and you're, you know, alienating the media who's trying to gas you up and trying to keep you around for a certain amount of time. And I don't think it's necessarily a great look on his part. I don't think it's necessarily a great look on the Jets part too, especially considering they're 0-6 right now. And, you know, hey, this is not nothing new for Glenn. Like, he came, like, I think the first time we really knew, like, he was very combative when he came out to me at the owners meeting back in March, and basically I asked him about Jamie Sherwood, somebody he wasn't familiar with, and obviously with the prior regime, and he basically said he was a good player, that's why we wanted to sign him, and basically said the same thing all over again. And today's press conference kind of was like similar to that when we was asking about Garrett, and, you know, basically saying that, you know, we just got to wait to the, you know, rest of the week and see what that profiles, but it's not good. It's not a good look. And, you know, obviously, like, I don't have anything personal against Aaron Glenn. Like I say, I hope he succeeds there with the Jets. They would be good for the city and the area. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a results-based business, and you're 0-6, and I don't think you should be combative against anybody right now, especially asking you genuine questions what's going on with the team.
Yeah, you don't have a leg to stand on. And even before we got to the games, he was combative when asked about Aaron Rodgers. He was we're going to focus on the roster.
Yeah, right.
It's not about Aaron Rodgers. And now look at what Aaron Rodgers is doing with the Steelers, and look at what you're doing with the quarterback that the Steelers had to start the season last year. It is all bad. So before we let you go, let's talk about the game this week. And here's what I'm saying, bro. Like, this is a distraction. This is negative energy. You have a home game. Your fans are coming into that building against a team that you should be able to compete against, maybe steal a win from.
Yes. Yes.
But who are you going? Yeah, who are they throwing the ball to? How are they going to move the football? I think the defense is going to show up, but how are they scoring points this week?
That's a fair question, because it's, you know, without Garrett Wilson and Josh Reynolds, who's also suffering a hip injury right now. I mean, it's a fair question to know, like, to ask, like, how they're going to be able to move the ball. Like, even with Garrett Wilson, like, they had issues moving the ball there. But now, like, without Garrett, without Josh Reynolds potentially, and basically you got Mason Taylor and a few practice squad guys and Tyler Johnson, you're going to rely a lot on the running game there. That's kind of why, you know, talk to you about, you know, them possibly running more option, like, just getting them off guard. Like, you got to do something to get a win. Like, you need a win in the worst way. You lose to the Panthers, and then you got Cincinnati with Joe Flacco, excuse me, who was your former quarterback last a few years ago, and he goes for 300 yards again, which he did against the Jets 2 years ago. It's going to be a bad look going into the bye week. So they need to get one of these two games.
If it's Dylan Gabriel and the Browns, or maybe they get to Shedeur Sanders by that point.
You know, honestly, like, so many people have talked to me about Shedeur Sanders and how he should be a Jets quarterback. And if you lose to him or lose to the Browns, that might be it. Like, that might.
Yeah, that might be the nail in the coffin, because I already took a call tonight. Like, how come they didn't draft Shedeur while he was falling? And I went back to Bill Parcells and the whole celebrity quarterback thing. You got rid of Aaron Rodgers. Why would you bring in somebody like Shedeur with millions of followers and media attention and everything else? Well, I don't know. I don't know when they're going to get a win.
I'll say this, like, real quick before I get out. Like, they didn't want any part of that. So, yeah, I can tell you that just point blank. Like, they didn't want any part of that circus.
And a lot of NFL teams didn't want any part of it, understandably so. But, okay, so the trade deadline is November 4th, and these next couple games will happen before then. I think there's nothing left to do but sell off pieces. Breece Hall, everybody should be available. What do you think they're going to do there? Like, go ahead and just prepare to get draft picks. And I won't say tank, because I think they're going to lose out and they're going to be a top three team drafting anyway. But, you know, that's the next step, to go and try and get some value for these guys, because we came into the season thinking they had guys on this roster that they could compete with. Obviously not.
Yeah, I would say Quentin Williams is a guy that's been talked about a lot, and I have an article coming out in the morning about that. I think it's more of an off-season move with Quinn, because I think he's going to come up you know, he might want a new contract and the Jets might not want to give it to him, and then he might request the trade in that sense. So just a little bit of rumble is there. But as far as Breece Hall, you know, he talked today and basically said he kind of downplayed the, you know, the trade Instagram rumors post. And his post on Instagram and all that. But he can't be happy. Like, he's been, it's been trade rumors since April with Breece Hall. So he has to know that his, you know, the sand in the hourglass is kind of ending with him with the Jets. And I'm sure he would like to go somewhere where he was better utilized there, whether it be the Chargers or the Chiefs there. And, you know, he's saying all the right things. But at the end of the day, like, you don't do that post unless, like, it's something in your heart that says, like, you know what, I'm ready to move on. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes down. I also throw Quincy Williams in that mix, too, as well as potential trade assets, too, as well. And also Lyle Lazar, who ended up coming back there and took a personal week
Steelers
off. But, you know, and the Steelers are looking for a wide receiver. The Steelers are looking for a wide receiver, so you might as well trade him Alan Lazar. Like, get Aaron Rodgers' team back up with him.
And then the last thing for you before you go, Fernando Mendoza, Dante Moore, Ty, who are you looking at for the Jets to draft that quarterback?
I am, like, you know, I talked about this too. Like, right now it's Dante Moore, but it could change too. Mendoza is more of a pocket passer there. He's more like Jared Goff, so it might be more appealing to Aaron Glenn
system, yeah.
If he works. If we were to survive this year, which I think he, right now I have to assume he is going to, but also Todd Simpson has been really good since the Florida State game. Like, he's been tremendous, right. So I think you have to put him in that category too.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Fernando Mendoza because Kirk Cignetti used to coach at JMU where I played for a few years,
yes.
And I've heard him speak very highly of Fernando Mendoza, the worker he is, the type of person he is, and how driven he is. So I'm like, hey, if they're able to go get that guy, he's 6'5", 225, like, and you know, we just saw what he did against Oregon. Yeah.
He's not like a Peyton Manning pocket passer. He is a today's pocket passer,
right.
Where he's not going to move a ton, but he can move if you're pressuring him. So, like, I'm all about, like, I know about JMU. I grew up in North Carolina, so I grew up about 3 hours from there. So I know all about JMU.
Well, you're the man, bro. Appreciate you joining our show tonight. And I'm sure I'll have you back on soon. Maybe after the Jets get their first win.
I won't hold my breath on that. But, it was always great talking to you, Keith. I appreciate it.
That might not be till next year. Antoine Staley, ladies and gentlemen, covering the Jets for the New York Daily News.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.